arc grid. Once the strikes start, it takes a minimum of 3 to 4 weeks before the union members feel a pinch and the company has serious losses, but this one would be very bad.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to call anyway, and we had a plant. People walk out on us by the middle of last week. They came back in 2 days, but they just said, we want more money. This is in the middle of a contract. And we're getting all kinds of price increases and so forth in our procurement end. And I just wondered whether you asked me twice before what I would do on taxes, and I just wonder whether a straight across the board 5.5% might curb some of this exuberant pressure for price increases and wage increases. I thought I might tell you what I'm on my mind on this. I didn't feel that way before, but I kind of think that maybe this is what the economy needs.
Well, it means about three things. One, we have to, before we just say we want 5 or 10% added to your tax bill, we have to say, when we ask that, what are we going to kick off?
Yeah.
Now, the first thing you kick off, you can't have any kind of tax bill without getting rid of investment credit and accelerate depreciation.
Right. That's
so
right.
Both of those go.
Yeah.
A good many people don't want to see them go, but I think we could leave them on and make them inoperative until Vietnam and just let it stay inoperative. Now, that's the first thing. Second thing, they say, okay, how much money you got to have and why? We are unable to tell them. We don't have any idea how much Congress is going to appropriate. They've got 16 bills. And as of now, we only have two of them that have gotten to me. They're 14 in the mail. It looks like the budget last night indicates that there's a reasonable chance that they're adding $6 billion to the budget. Now, these fellas talk big, like Dirksen. He's just the biggest blow you ever saw about what he's going to do. But when he gets down, like the GI Bill, it passed 89 to nothing. And it added nearly $300 to $400 million. Then he came along with a pay increase for federal workers. Now, it's true it was in the guidelines. But they had one 9 months ago, and I asked that it go into effect next January, where it would take this pressure. They all voted for it. Now, he did vote for an amendment that would allow it October, but he only got 7 votes. That's 7 out of 100. So they add $500 million there. Now, they're going to send me a veto message. But hell, the time to veto it's when they pass them, before it gets here, because I can't sustain a veto. It's 89 to nothing. I have to more or less look and see what they're going to do if one way I'll need a 5%, the next way I'll need a 10%. Nobody knows. They're in the process. They're supposed to have them all finished June 30th. If they don't, they'll be lucky if we get them finished August 30th. But they're in the mill now, and they're coming down, and we'll have to really face up to it on the education bill and some of them like that. So if I can know that they do, we'll say just for round figures that they add $4 billion or $5 billion, say they add $5 billion. Then I have to go to the defense and say, you make the best guess you can that this war is not going to end June the 30th, that how much you're going to need. They have to go out and they have to get into ammunition and they have to get into petroleum and they have to get into everything they can. And they will come in, and my judgment is they'll say that they'll need probably $15 billion authorization and maybe $8 or $9 billion expenditure. So then I'll say, okay, I need five up here, and I won't try to get a balanced budget, so I'll need eight over here, so I got to have $13 billion. Here's how I would get to $13 billion, so give me a tax bill. Now, when I do that, I reopen all of Vietnam. So McNamara's got to start back through four committees, Armed Services and Foreign Affairs, and then Fulbright goes on hearing why we ought to pull out. And I've got that for at least 2 months. It takes McNamara a month to get his figures ready, and that runs us right into the election. Now, that's what you get into when you ask something like this. And you're guessing. You may wind up on this kind of a procedure with placing $13 billion worth of orders on new authorization with airplanes and with helicopters and with spare parts. And if they broke out there, you'd have them on hand without a damn bit of use for them, because they just sit there and rust. They can't be used unless they're being interchanged. And that's what we did in Korea, and we wound up with $12 billion of pure waste. Now, that's what we're trying to avoid. I doubt that we're going to be able to do it. I think with the Wilson thing, as jittery as it is, with our own market as jittery as it is, with everybody wanting to go on and build and spend and so on and so forth, we may very well have to take another look at it. I would hope that I could avoid it if there's any way I can. Now, I don't know what General Motors' second quarter yesterday, what indication that is. I don't know. I think the big thing we've got to settle is try to negotiate this airline strike. Now, what it is, the money doesn't amount to a tinker's dam. Whether they get $86 million, the board recommended $76 million. We could go to $86 million without any problem. And then there's some certified mechanics and things like that are not in the wage calculations that could come. But we might get in there in the neighborhood of $90 million or $100 million. That we could get a settlement that would be in the neighborhood of 3.8 or 4 or something of that kind. Now, that's what we'd like to do without having to draft them, because we don't think Congress will do that. They'll talk big about it, but when they get ready to vote, it'll be like Taft stood up on railroad workers, and they just won't do it. Now, the Kennedys, are both of them, wanting to see what we're going to recommend so they can take the other side of it. And then you just get in a tailspin. So what we're going to do is say to them, in effect, that this is a very serious thing. It's worse this week than it was last week. It'll be worse next week. We think they ought to have a settlement. It ought to be negotiated. We don't want to legislate strike breaking, because we have to next week on electrical workers, the next week on telephone workers, and each one of them coming up, you're going to pass a law to do it, and we can't get any law more than Taft-Hartley. So we think they ought to negotiate it, but if it gets worse and if they don't negotiate it, why, you may have to do it. Now, in order to do that, you've got to have your company stand still for a few days. They every goddamn one of them, and the more Republican they are, the stronger from somebody like Eddie Rickenbacker's Eastern is, the quicker they want a key. They've always wanted to do that. They want to talk big about how big they are for free enterprise, but then, by God, they want to cave in. So we've had to hold their hands and say to them, for Christ's sake, negotiate long enough and hold here, because we've got Braniff and American, and they're operating, and they're going to give them the money. American told me last night that they make 10, 11 million out of this, but they'll actually wind up losing a million, because the agreement is that they take their profits and turn over to the struck people. Now, of course, all of us lose, but they got a hell of a profit picture. They never had it so good in all their life. And if they get a damn wage settlement of 7-8% here and have inflation and ruin the damn country, why, they just ought to think about it. So what I'm hoping is that they'll give me a few days to really make these people, the pressure just being felt. And they're scared a little bit about the legislation. And I've got to say to the Senate today that this is bad, but if it gets worse, we may have to have this authority, but I can't prove a national emergency now.
Yeah,
you know, the military is actually doing better than it did before the strike.
Yeah.
The domestic end, you hurt Miami and Honolulu, but you don't wreck the country. That's a lot of bullshit. It's not. So what I'm trying to do is to negotiate a settlement that will not wreck us with communications and with others. And I feel like you do.
The only thing about it was when Charlie Tillinghast says these boys are ready to fold.
They've been ready since the day we started. They tell us that every day. That we'll go 24 more hours. That's all we can go, 48 hours. And we have to go get the CAB or somebody to talk to them and say, for God's sakes, give us now.
Oh, well, you're way ahead of me.
They want to do that, and they can do it. They can ruin us if they do it. But if they do it, I can't do it anyway. All I could do is say to them, I'm trying to help you and help keep down a great spiral here.
Yep.
And here's the way our people feel about it. I'll just read you. I'm going to a meeting right now on this thing. If the IAM demands are granted, this would be the largest increase for any important union. They are demanding an increase of 7 to 8% a year for 3 years. It's 5.1 plus 3% cost of living, which is very dangerous in all escalation in all clauses. Reuther got only 4+ cost of living escalation, but at the time he got his living escalation, it didn't mean anything. Aerospace got 4+ escalation. New York transit workers busted through and got 5. Western Lumber got about 5. Every other major union has got less, very much less. It's still true that unit labor costs in manufacturing have not risen. They stood at 99.3 in June 66 versus 99.3 in January 64. Versus 100.6 in January 63. Thus, we will not be locking the barn door if the horse is stolen, but it will be stolen soon if the IAM isn't stopped. The IAM is not the most popular union in America. It's been in and out of the AFL-CIO. An important segment of the public is aroused over this case, whether or not the facts justify a national emergency finding, and they do not. It may be hard to find another case which anyone will care about as much as they do this one. The high visibility of this case can increase the leverage we get on prices from taking a strong stand on wages. Whenever we do face up the problem, it'll have to involve a dramatic shock treatment, such as supporting legislation like the airline, plus a strong, organized, and continuous course of high-level persuasion directed toward Meany and Reuther, in which they are in effect told they have to choose between full employment and responsible wage policy. A big job of public education on what the problem is, and a new drive on industry to get them to quit raising prices and reduce prices in order to quit swelling profits. Maybe it can't be done. Woodrow Wilson didn't do it. Maybe things have to get worse before they get better. But history suggests that once they get worse, the job is much more difficult. If you decide to oppose the Morris Bill, which would draft workers, this might be an occasion for you personally to make clear that although you reject legalized strike breaking by law every time a strike occurs, such as against the IAM, you do not condone labor's irresponsible demand, and to indicate that if you are to rely on free collective bargaining, it has to be responsible bargaining on both sides. Alternatively, if you could go for the Morris Bill, you might want to make a package and ask for suspension of investment credit and amounts of wheat acreage increase and appeal to business to hold the line on price and profit. This could be an occasion to seize national attention on economic affairs and refute the allegation that we're drifting. Now, that's what my economists all think.
I think that's a damn good statement myself.
Well, what would you do? That's what I asked him. When he got through, he had a lot of words, but I said, what do you do? And the only thing I know Undry to do is to say to the IAM, I can't give you a damn 8%. I'm not going to do it. Say to the companies, you gutless wonders, stand up, but don't cave, and then argue with them about it. Now, they can't shoot me, and I can't shoot them, and we may have to go another week before we get a settlement. If we don't, we may have to have legislation. But in the free enterprise system, I can't make you do something for camel soup. All I can do is talk to you, and I can't make a labor union do it, and all I can do is talk to them. But I'm not willing to give them the 8%. Now, I am willing to work out something that won't set a bad example that's in the line with some of the other higher increases, because, first of all, they only affect 30,000, 35,000 workers. They don't affect, it's not like the steel workers or the electrical workers or the railroads or something like that. And I can give it to them. It doesn't make, what the hell is $20 million in our economy? Talk about nothing, but as an example, and as a pace setter, it's terrible.
It is.
So that's why I have to be careful.
Well, I'm going to do what I can to stiffen up these boys.
I'll tell you one thing you can tell them. You can tell them that I've tried to help for 20 days here, that we can't, we haven't any predicate. We haven't got the facts that we can really break through here and legislate this thing today. We might be able to next week. But that if this crowd shows that they've got no guts, when their president's trying to stand up and keep unreasonable demands, then this administration is going to show it has no guts when they move in on them. And they'd wish they'd never had a cave. They're going to rue the day when they let labor write the ticket.
Yeah, I
well. And I...